And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Carol Collins, America's medium and alpha state channeler of the group of non-physical beings known as the Teachers of Jeshua, or simply the Teachers. Carol, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Carol, how did you gain the ability of channeling in the first place?
Well, it's a non-spiritual story, that's for sure. I fell into what most what people would call depression. I found my couch and I found curling up in a ball to be the most comfortable position most of the day. And, you know, I'm a corporate IT project manager, and I was doing that for over 20 years. And I had a relationship that just imploded, that kind of took me by surprise. And when it did, I packed up and I escaped. I moved out of state and I just started a new life and new city, new life, new surroundings. And I felt good for a little while, but then the weight of new showed up. And then I did what I always do. I am an avid person and who believes in emotional intelligence, and that emotional balance cures thought patterns that are going awry. And so I did what I always do. And I went to emotional intelligence type of textbooks, and I started listening to different podcasts. And then I came across Law of Attraction, which I hadn't really heard of before. And along the way, I was in a Facebook group. It was Manifest with Marnie. And it was a nice group. It kept me busy. It kept me occupied, kept me a little bit social because I was very isolated at the time. And I was more of a voyeur. I would survey and, you know, appreciate the uplifting things that people would talk about. And I would try some of the things. And then one day, as I'm sitting there looking, you know, at the list of things, my hand jumped and hit a link. And when it hit the link, it was an Abraham Hicks video. It was a YouTube 15-minute segment. It was the first time I ever heard of Abraham. I was, like many people, a little confused why this woman's voice was calling herself Abraham, which is a male name. And I did look that up after. But in that minute that my hand kind of jerked over and hit that link, as soon as I heard Abraham speak, I started to feel like a warm sensation, kind of going up and down, like not a vibration, but just rotating a little bit, right across the front and center of my chest. And it was warm and it was soothing. And I immediately felt very peaceful in the mind. And I was not all that peaceful at that time, but everything went quiet. And I was just absorbed in Esther's voice, but Abraham's words captured me. And then I started listening to Abraham night and day, just to have something in the background. You know, music, I couldn't listen to old music, couldn't watch the old television shows. I really couldn't do, you know, what I was doing, because it just brought about heightened sense of awareness of being alone. And Abraham talked about meditation. And that's one of the first times where I really looked at meditation as something that I might want to do. And so I did. And I did it every single day. About 4 months in, my face started to move just a little bit. And it wasn't my whole body. It wasn't any jerking sensation. And it wasn't anything I was afraid of. It was just this simple movement. And it was so small, in fact, that I had my daughter, my oldest daughter, come over. She was probably about 35 at the time. And I said, hey, just watch me while I meditate for a second. Tell me if you see anything. And it took about 12 seconds. And she said, Mom, your face is moving. And I said, yeah, I know. It's so exciting. And a few weeks later, it just started to get bigger and bigger. And within probably a 3-week time span, my face was doing this in meditation. And it was just rotating around. And I loved it. And right before my timer would go off, my face would always come to center and just kind of bounce a little. And then my alarm would go off. So I knew there was something happening, because the swirling would stop just before the alarm would go off. And I started to have this thought enter my mind every single day. Is that the way my body receives energy, or is it communication I'm not yet translating? And that was a new thought, and it showed up every single day. That was at month 4 or 5 into meditation. 9 months into meditation, my face did the same thing, but right after it stopped, it then moved to the left and then to the right a few times. And then cursive words were spelt in the air with my face. So it was concrete. It was one word at a time. It was very, very distinct. It was oversized like this so that I knew it wasn't, well, it wasn't me anyway, but it was a pure conversation. The teachers introduced themselves. They identified themselves as my high guide. They talked about who guides are and where they are and what's going on. And they wrote a chapter of a book in, I would say, probably about an hour and a half. Slowly, it was about a sentence or two, and I would write it down, and then they would begin again. And it was a chapter of a book by the time we were done. And then they gave me all kinds of personal guidance about what was going on in my life and how to heal from it. And so it was face spelling communication with my face for about a month. And then my mouth would mimic the conversation. So it was, I just say it's like lip singing, and my mouth would move, but my voice wasn't there. And then about 6 weeks in, they simply said, "Carol, can we speak out loud?" And I went to say yes. And then words just started flowing out, and they just said who they were and that they loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, loved me, that they were gentle, they were kind, and they were here to help me. And then it just kept flowing, this beautiful initial out loud conversation. I didn't know what channeling was. I knew by that time what Esther was doing with Abraham, but I didn't know that it was mediumship. I thought channeling was completely separate from mediumship, that clairvoyant medium talked to loved ones, and that non-physical teachers spoke out loud through people. And that was my introduction to channeling. And that was 4.5 years ago. So that was March 20th, 2019. And since then, it's been a whirlwind. You know, I retired early, and now I do this full time. I've had students all over the world in, you know, that 4 years time. I say I had students, but everything that I do is channeled. I just don't waste people's time with giving them, you know, my overview or my take on things or my perceived learning or even my opinion on who they are and what they need to know. I leave everything up to the teachers because they know the audience. They read their energy. They are communicators, and they are beautiful, powerful teachers. And they are loving and kind. So this is my full-time work now. So for me, the way that they describe it is the abilities were built in to my life experience that I had built in to be a channeler. They call it a soul intention or a life intention. And that if I found spiritual things interesting, I would either lean into mediumship or I would go straight to channeling. And for me, I went straight to channeling, but I didn't study it and I didn't go to class for it. And I didn't, it was also not spontaneous. And so there's a lot of people that say spontaneous, and I did in the beginning, and they said it's not. It was a lifetime of slow, steady progress on what they call the awakening or the blossoming. And so what they say is by the time that I was, so 2019, I'll just say I was 48 at the time. That's 48 years of life. And they said it had the ability to channel perfectly, had just stated under the surface, but it was like a glass ceiling on top. And that I would not have broken through that glass ceiling without meditation. They're very consistent that meditation is required for true channeled ability to come forward. Even true clairvoyant ability, you need meditation. And so for me, it took 9 months, and then it's like a seed was planted at the moment of birth. And then on that day it sprouted, and it took about 6 weeks. And then I was out loud alpha state channeler. I like to say that, I'm the voice of, I voice giving is one of the ways that I described it in the very beginning, because I give them my voice. They give me the words and I give them my voice. So it's a partnership. And it's always beautiful. It's always loving. It's depth of information. You know, after these abilities kind of came up, I started to look around and see, you know, what was the channeler? How many were there? Who were there? And so I came across Jane Roberts and the Seth material and Edgar Cayce and his team of guides that spoke. And when I look at what the teachers teach, I say it's holistic care using energy work, and it's law of attraction, absolutely. It's about how non-physical life has physical life experience, why we do it, who your guide is, what happens after you die, what the process is, what life intentions are, and how we succeed in them or don't. And then, of course, all things law of attraction, which is thoughts create your reality. Thought is a subject plus an emotion. And so it's two types of energy that come together. When that energy comes together, then it sprouts wings and it produces your future. And it either produces it in a pathway of happy or a pathway of unhappy. So law of attraction is one of the components that they teach. But I have a very quiet lifestyle. I have a teaching moment with them every single day. I go for a walk, or I go for a little bike ride or something, and they communicate with me the whole time. But I'm a channeler to the core of who I am, I guess. It's my favorite thing to do. You know, everybody's got a different story, but the day that they asked me, can we speak out loud through you? That's a question that, I don't have the date of that one written down, like the date of the face spelling, but it's a memory that I could never forget, because it was this beautiful flow. And the words were, every word was beautiful, but every word was a surprise. I did not know what was going to be said, as I still don't. So when the teachers, they teach unfoldment into channeling, and they teach holistic care of the body using energy. And they also teach law of attraction in different workshops. But, you know, when somebody comes to my classes, it's pure channeled from start to finish. I say hi in the beginning and hi at the end. And then it's this outpouring of, some people say universal knowledge. I just say it's wisdom from beyond. And that's, you know, probably the easiest phrase for me to say without feeling like I'm misinterpreting or leaning into too much spiritual. I'm not a spiritual person. I grew up Catholic, so I'm a religious person, but I shouldn't say I'm a religious person, but I grew up with Sunday school and, you know, every Sunday going to church. And so that's part of my upbringing, and I love it. My upbringing was not mediumship and getting into all the spiritual kind of things, metaphysics or any of that. So I don't really have a lifelong process of leading up to this powerful moment. It was just depression and finding a way to pull myself out of depression. Emotional balance is what I did first. And then I found law of attraction, which led me to, you know, a video course and then a Facebook group, which led me to the first spontaneous movement of clicking that Abraham video. And so I always, whenever I have the opportunity to thank Esther Hicks and for what she's done for the world, in addition to Abraham, I always like to, because without that video, I don't know if I would be doing what I'm doing today. It sparked the awareness of the solar plexus to open up so that my team of guides could create the awakening and bring channeling through that barrier. And so I am who I am today, with no small part attributed to Esther, and I love her for it.
What type of meditation do you practice?
Rhythm of the body meditation is the way the teachers describe it. And so I do, for that 9 months, for probably the first year, it was Abraham's meditation or silent meditation. And, so Esther's got four segments of meditation, the 15 minutes in length, 12 minutes of guided instruction from Abraham, and then 3 minutes of rhythmic melody. And so I did that for almost that full 9 months. When Abraham said to meditate, I did Abraham's way. And what Abraham said was, you don't have time to not do it. And so I'd be walking out the door, getting ready to go to work, and I hadn't meditated. I'd close the door and I would meditate, and I'd get in the car and I would just say, whoever's listening to me, please let it be okay that I'm running late. You know, make sure that everything is okay when I get to work. And so I just built a trust that way. And then I started shifting into what the teachers call rhythm of the body meditation, silent meditation. It's 12 minutes in length. And I do that every single morning. I do longer rounds of meditation throughout the week, 3 or 4 times a week. But they say there's two types of meditation. Everything else is emotional balance and creating a softer mindset. But 12 minutes or less will bring out the awakening over time. The awakening is the ability to communicate with people on the other side. Healing meditation, to heal your body and heal your behaviors and heal your thoughts, is longer rounds, but it's the same thing. So the way they describe it is, listen to a sound in the air. Just close your eyes and listen to a sound in the air. And as you're listening to just the air, now if the outside, if you've got construction going or trucks going, then, you know, they say put some kind of earbuds in and some kind of noise dampening or canceling headphones on and be in a quiet place and just listen to the air. As you listen to the air, a humming will come to your awareness, and the humming will be just this soft, straight hum, or it'll be a rhythmic hum, but you'll feel it somewhere on the inside of your face. I hear it in my right ear mostly and a little in my left. It's not consistent though. As soon as I have a thought, it goes away. So it's a humming. The air has a sound. And when you listen, it's like this soft nothingness of vibration. And when you just focus on that with your eyes closed, then a humming from the inside of the body is produced in your awareness. When you focus on that, then you begin to shift into alpha. If you don't hear that humming, you're not shifting into alpha. And alpha is the receiving place. It's a quieter state of mind, and that's where your team of guides can create your abilities, bring your abilities out, create more accuracy in the abilities that you do have. And it's what I do every single day. I don't miss a day.
If people need to review this, can they go to Esther Hicks's YouTube channel and you can find videos on meditation?
Well, Abraham certainly has all kinds of information on meditation. So I would say absolutely. If it came from Abraham, it's good. I would say if it comes from a pure channeled person, then it's good. How do you know if someone is channeling purely? Because there is mind chatter. And so when you're receiving from the other side, if your mind chatter gets in the way, it could contaminate the message. So how do you know if someone's channeling purely? You need a pendulum, and that's the only way to do it. And then simply ask, is this person a pure, clear channel? Is the information that's coming through 100% from beyond? And then get a yes or get a no. If it's a yes, then you know where they are in their abilities. And if it's a no, then you know where they are in their abilities. I know that I'm a yes. I know Esther's a yes. And I don't really get into other channeled people, because everybody is where they are in their awakening and in the blossoming and the flow of conversation, no matter whether someone is novice or moderate or at expert level in their channeled ability, the information is positive. So it's, you know, even when there's some channeling happen, like a channeled beginner, and I have several channeled beginners in my Monday night classes, they use a logbook. And so what they'll do is they'll do their meditation, and then they will allow the channeling to come forward, and they capture it on audio, and then they write it down, and then they grab their pendulum, and then they ask, is this accurate? Was this channeled? Yes or no for every single word. And the words that are accurate, they leave alone. The words that are not accurate, they cross it out all the way. It's a technique that the teachers have brought forward. And that teaches the mind to get more and more and more accurate in the receiving and in the channeling. So meditation itself, it's like this. You can do all kinds of meditation. And it's generally quiet contemplation, or it's forecasting what you're wanting, which is a method of trying to proactively predict what your future will be by sitting and saying mantras over and over again. But there's a lot of noise activity. When a human being is speaking, your guide team can't get through. And your guide team has to be the one to awaken you to your abilities. And that's something that the channeled community is learning. Spiritual community is not learning it as quickly. Meditation is key. So meditation in general, I would say, you know, emotional balance happens in meditation. And there's a lot of studies. You can just read up on meditation in general. But silent meditation will bring out your communicative abilities with the other side. So I don't have, any ties to Esther. So I don't know what she personally has out there. I know there are all kinds of information and segments from her workshops. But silent meditation is simply this: no thought for as long as you can. And when you have no thought for as long as you can, your guide team is getting some work done. What they're doing is awakening the inner mind to hear them, receive them, and then to produce it in your life experience. It will always produce conversation from the other side, will always be produced in the mind first, because we're taught as little kids and as adults, think before you speak, be prepared before you speak, practice, and then. And so clairvoyant mediumship always comes first. It's always in the mind first. Channeled comes after. So I do have clairvoyant abilities and I love it. I certainly don't walk around my house speaking out loud all day, every day. But I do have conversations with them throughout the day. And some of them are, two-way dialogue from a silent perspective. And plenty of it is out loud, two-way dialogue. Only it's my mouth that's saying both halves of the conversation. but it's easy to tell who's who. Yes, I would absolutely say it is emotional balance that you will get from the Abraham meditations. The CDs and the downloads are for sale, so I do say buy it, because it helps keep all of us channelers doing what we're doing. But unfoldment into your abilities, that's anywhere between 3 and 12 minutes. When you go over 12 minutes, it's emotional balance. And so set a timer. I use my Alexa app or I use my phone, and then I just sit quietly. And then when the teachers give me a head nod, I open my eyes and I turn off the timer. I still use a timer because it's an easy thing for me to do and stay within that 12-minute regiment. So I always do 12 minutes. And then later in the day or some other time during the week, I'll do 30, 40, an hour. I generally don't go a whole lot more than an hour at a time. But when I do, I'm constantly doing what everybody else does. I listen for the rhythm of the body. When a thought comes into my mind, I just squeeze my eyes a little bit and release. Squeeze and release. And then the thought goes away. When an image comes up, I do the same thing. Now, the teachers have given another technique, which is to take your hand and set it on your lap and just leave it face up. And when a thought comes to mind, just rotate it over and back again. Don't think. Don't ask for it to go away. Don't say cancel. Don't do any of those things. Just flip it over and back again. Very gentle, and leave it on your lap. And so you can use either one of those. I like the eye squeezing technique. It's just a gentle, not that, not that. And then the thought or the image flies away. So even though I do this professionally, there's no 12-minute segment that is purely silent. The human mind is always active, but you can teach it to be quiet when you meditate. And that's simply law of attraction. What you want, you get more of. And what you think about, you get more of. What you love upon, you get faster. So you have to love meditation. You have to desire silent meditation. But if you do meditation and the way you talk about it is, well, I just don't do it very well. My meditation sessions are never quiet and I'm not good at it. Well, then you are not loving on it. So you have to talk about your meditation, even if you've had a series of, where you're flipping your hand over gently throughout the whole 10 minutes. It's afterwards, you need to say, I love meditation, and it's always perfectly silent. You have to project into the future what you're wanting to experience. And then it gets there. So it's a powerful thing. So the teachers only advise people to do two types of meditation. Unfoldment meditation, 3 to 12 minutes, and healing meditation, which is any amount of time, but you have to keep the mind silent. Lights on, noise, watching a candle flickering, listening to someone talking, listening to your breathing is okay. But mind chatter from yourself or from someone else, it disrupts the flow of energy that's coming through the dimensions that can heal your thoughts, heal your behaviors, heal your lives, and then also the awakening. So I'm a definite proponent of meditation.
How would you compare the material that you channel to Jane Roberts and Edgar Cayce's?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say they laid the foundation with more to come, both of them, as we all do. You know, Edgar Cayce is known as the sleeping prophet, and he brought forward a lot of holistic nutritional things. What's going wrong with the body is this, and this is how you heal it. And so the teachers do that. They go one level deeper, though, and they talk about the emotional standpoint that caused the initiation of the thought pattern. And then the thought pattern grew until you had negative thoughts, negative behavior, or something going wrong in the body. So everything has to do with emotional standpoint. Emotion is what doctors call stress. Negative emotion, I should say, is what doctors call stress. And when you have stress, when you hold on to stress, it's holding on to negative thought patterns. It's the negative energy in the thought pattern. That is stress. And stress is the basis of anything that goes wrong in your life as well as in your body. So they go into depth of detail on, you know, if you feel like you're going to sneeze and the sneeze is coming from the right side of the nose, it's, I don't know what's about to happen, and you're feeling emotional about it. If the sneeze is coming from the left side of the nose, you know, you can feel where the tickle is. If it's coming from the left side, it's, I don't know what's about to happen as a statement. And you've either heard the statement too many times, thought the statement, or it's been in your awareness. So they describe the left-hand side of the body as the overthinking me, and the right side is the overly emotional me. So if you just survey your body, and where do you have aches and pains? Where do you have bumps and bruises? Where do you have tightness, or where do you have flexibility? And then you'll know, at least from a beginning standpoint, am I an overthinker or am I overly emotional from a predominant standpoint? And then they go into, you know, from head to toe, if it hurts, what the emotional cause is, and how it starts surface level, literally surface level on the skin. And as initial emotion is accumulating and then eventually gets bound up in the energy field, then it starts to go inward to the innermost part of the body. So I would say, you know, with Edgar, it was a beautiful contribution to holistic health and healthcare now. And the teachers go into that. They dive into one level deeper. They talk about the ancient mudras, how to use your energy field, how to use your own soul energy to help bring forth healing, and how your guide is a major contributor. They are the healer, and you can participate. They talk about, you know, other ways to heal. You know, laughter is healing, but so is fresh air, and so is walking. And so there's all kinds of ways that they teach about that. Now, as far as the Seth material, which I've read all of it by request from the teachers, is it's law of attraction based. This is who you are as a physical person, and this is why you have limitation. And this is what you can do about it. Stop living life the way you have been, because you're creating your reality every time you speak, every time you think, every time you turn on the television, every time you turn on social media. You're creating your life. You're just not doing it on purpose. And so the teachers just following the same as all channelers do. Law of attraction is always something they talk about. Now, one thing that they do dive into deeper is non-physical life and why we choose to have a physical life. Why do we choose this particular platform for, they call it a sub-reality. Why do we choose this platform as our chosen place to be in the physical body? How we get into the body, how we get out of the body. They talk about the energy field. They talk about the kind of things that people do once they're on the other side and how everybody is a constant learner, but there is zero doubt in the non-physical place. It's pure positivity that they have. And so when they guide us and when they're talking to us, they're talking from a perspective that's unfettered. They don't have superiority. They don't have doubt. They don't have worry. They don't have concern. They just see the pattern of your thought and of your energy. And they say, if you continue with this thought pattern, you will manifest this. Or your thought pattern is here and you've got two or three different opportunities coming to you in the future. This one's best, but you need to work on your thought pattern. And so they go into concrete detail about that. And then I would say with the transition, it's one of my favorite topics, transitioning into the physical world and transitioning out of the physical world. They talk more in detail about the energy field, what's inside of it, chakra systems inside of it, and also what they call a container mechanism that they call the grid. It's what holds human physical life, and that the energy field connects to and integrates with the physical body. And then at the moment of death, they disconnect and then the energy field transcends. So all memory transcends, but in the transcendence back, all negative emotion is removed. And so I recall, you know, Seth talked about the healing clinic after death. Some people have to go to a healing clinic. And so the teachers describe that in more detail, and they describe the mechanics of it, that there are several non-physical beings that remove negative emotion from the grid so that when you complete that final attunement, is the way they describe it, when you complete the transition, then what you look at is first the high points of life as identified by your higher being and your guide. Some of the metaphysical world calls it Akashic. Seth called it moment points. The teachers call it moment points for me, but they identify that it is an Akashic or a special moment or phase in your life. And then you look at the whole of your life. So when you look at the Seth material, it's powerful information. I look at what the teachers are bringing forward and I understand this in greater detail because of what's coming through me. They dive in down into the mechanics of the subconscious mind, who your superconscious self is, what the subconscious is, and what our conscious awareness is, and how they interact with each other. They talk about the chakra systems and how memory has an interplay with the chakra systems, and then the chakra system has an interplay with our physical body. So every thought that we have, and thought is what we think, what we say, what we watch on television. It's a billboard. It's a check in the mail. It's a book. It's an advertisement. It's a meme. It's this podcast. Thought is not just my personal thought. It's thought and being aware of thought in the world. And all of that is in the grid because it's in our memory. The grid interacts with the chakra system, and then the chakra system interacts accordingly with the human physical body. So what we get as an output is based on the input. And sometimes they describe it like a computer. You've got a keyboard, that's the input, and you've got all the processing that's on the inside of the computer. And then you've got the output, which is the monitor. So you've got the grid, which contains all life, but there's an input mechanism to the grid, which is memory. And then there's this processing function that happens with the chakra system. And then the output is like the monitor, but that's your physical life. It's not the other way around. We don't impact the chakra system. The chakra system impacts us. But when you look at your life and you look at what your pattern of behavior and pattern of thought is, if you're kind of down in the dumps and you've got a negative thought pattern going, when you change your thought pattern and you improve it to something more positive, then that positive experience comes right back around into the grid because it's a memory, and then it impacts the chakra, and then it impacts your life. So, you know, if somebody's in a bad mood, how do they get out of a bad mood? It's enough other residual happy memories are being aligned by your non-physical team and bringing those to the surface. They're always with us and they're always helping. So they dive into the details and the mechanics of it. I'm a proponent of everybody understanding that the energy field is real. You can't see it, you can't feel it, and you can't sense it. The chakra systems are real. And the same thing, you can't feel them or see them or sense them. But the grid is something that is, I've never heard of another channeler bringing that forward. Seth certainly didn't. But the information certainly makes sense. And it's very logical, and they're very, very consistent. And so it's, you know, it's all being formatted in different books. So there's been 37 books written through me, all by video dictation. So I sit in front of the video camera and I turn it on. They introduce themselves and the book and the chapter, and then they recite the chapter, and then they close with chapter complete, usually. One of the books this past summer was written by video dictation in front of a live audience. It was really fun. So that was the first time I did that. But each book falls in line with one of four categories. The foundational material, which is pillar one, that's conscious life and why we're having physical life. Pillar two is law of attraction, thoughts create your reality. Pillar three, how to heal your life using energy techniques and all the ways to do it. Pillar four is awakening into your spiritual abilities, your ability to communicate with those on the other side. And so they color code them to match the chakra system that is being impacted by that topic. So pillar one, for example, non-physical and physical life. It's a sacral aligned book. And so all of the books are kind of this color, actually. It's like a burnt orange color. Pillar two, law of attraction, heals and touches on the throat chakra. So those books are blue. Self-healing and all the ways to do it is magenta or pink. That affects the root chakra. And then unfoldment into mediumship and channeling is purple or lilac, because it cleans out the crown chakra. So all my books are color coded. One by one, they're coming out in publication. But, you know, it's just a powerful visual as well. You know, if you're in an argument with someone, pick up one of the books that are blue and just read some of it, because as you read it, their non-physical energy is in the book. And it's hard to describe this to people, but they infuse, we want you to understand this book and we love you so much. It's written from beyond and it is pure positivity within it. And so there's almost like, it's perfectly said and perfectly laid out, but there's also an energy woven in, is the way they describe it, to help you heal that chakra point. So, you know, there's so many different ways that I can describe it, but it's, they call it the essential material. Here with four pillars of learning, pillar one, two, three, and four. And Edgar's known for probably pillar three, self-healing. Jane was known for a little bit of pillar one and pillar two, non-physical life, and also law of attraction. And then, you know, just to mention Abraham, they're obviously known for law of attraction, pillar two. So same with me. They talk about any topic that is of concern to you is open for conversation with them, and then they just bring the conversation forward. It's beautiful.
Would you be willing to channel some for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you need to do anything to get prepared?
No. They are wanting you to ask a question, but they just swiftly come through. I have an awareness that I'm no longer speaking or the one speaking, and they'll always introduce themselves. What do you want to talk about?
Many things. First, I want to ask, how did you choose Carol to be your vessel?
This is Yeshua to speak. When I say Yeshua, I'm talking about four non-physical teachers. We say the teachers because there's upwards of 50 of us. But depending on the conversation, different ones of us jump in. She chose us before she entered into this physical life. She built in to be a channeler and to acquire the skills necessary for us to write a clean book through her, at least one. We've done a lot more than one. She chose us. It was an agreement that her soul being made. And if she acquired the ability, we would step in. If she did not acquire the ability, then we would step in her next lifetime. We watched over her life, but we didn't step in until she began to meditate. But it's not that we never stepped in. We guide, but intuition is not very strong in anyone. You think far too often, and then you overthink, and then you're overly emotional, but you're constant thinkers. The music is on, the television is on. Noise, noise, noise from the Grinch. It's noise, noise, noise. And the inner mind learns, I need to communicate. I need to communicate. And I need constant interaction from others that are communicating. And so mind activity is almost 100%. Silent meditation is required. So she was not interested in holistic things. She was not interested in meditation. She was not interested in anything except for slowing down on occasion. And she was an appreciator. But that also made her a little bit of an outcast in her family because she was the quiet one. And then she would get picked on a little bit. And then she would have an outburst of stop picking on me. So then she got labeled as the one that was vacillating and inconsistent. So that's a thought pattern. And over time, that draws people and experiences to you that provide more of the same. So we just say, you get what you think about, but you get what you have inside of you, emotionally first, topic second. And she had a feeling of not measuring up. And so she invited people into her life that would cause her to feel like she didn't measure up. And so we would guide her here and there and everywhere. We brought her to Alexandria, 2017. We brought her here. We created a pathway, we should say, for her to choose this place as her new home. She felt drawn to Alexandria for about 6 or 7 years before that. It was not too far from where she was before. And when she would come here, she would simply say, I love it here. And then she would go home. And so her first thought was, I need to move. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to go. And that's when sometimes a thought arises in your mind that is from us. But you don't really know if it's your thought or our thought. So you don't really need to worry about it. But that was our thought. It was what we would say, a pushed, received, so that she would not go somewhere else. Because this is a healing place. We know people say, well, what does that mean? It's a healing place. Should I move there? No, it has all the components that she adores. Sidewalks made of brick. Brownstone homes. Trees that are lighted up year round. Curbs, sidewalks, and streetlights. She grew up in a era and also a neighborhood where when the streetlights went on, you had to go home. That was the signal. And so she prefers sidewalks, curbs, and street lamps. It has it all here. There's a hustle and bustle of shopping, but it's not overwhelming of traffic. But yet Washington, D.C. is only a couple of miles, and then she has a plethora of things to do there. She likes big, not small. And so there's a great combination here, but it's also not too far from her children and grandchildren. And it's not too far from rivers, streams, parks, greenery. It's a healthy place, but it's a healthy place for her because the sights and the sounds, the environment, the aesthetics are what pleases her. So it's not a healing place. Don't make it the next Sedona Mecca. It's a healing place for her, because wherever she goes, it's the eyes and the ears see things that cause the throat and the heart chakra to open up. And that's what we needed. She fell into depression anyway, but we helped her with that too. Okay, we can open the eyes now. Here we are. We say the teachers of Yeshua. You may call us anything you like. Most people are now calling us the teachers, but there's still a few close friends that still call us Yeshua. Anything you want. We are proud of you.
Can you explain to us the different dimensions or soul levels and where you reside?
There's one place that is real. One place that is real. We call it the non-physical dimension. To categorize ourselves from you. We say the human physical world is a sub-reality of ours. It's a sub-place of the reality that exists. There really aren't sub-realities that don't exist, but there are people who created the reality that you're in. This world that you live in, someone made it. It was a group of someone's who made it, and then they remake it, and then they fix it when you break it. There truly is nothing going wrong with your world and your planet. Gives you an opportunity how to change your mind. When plastic became a fad, you wanted it, and you wanted it on everything. And then it became burdensome. So now you don't want plastic. So now human experience is evolving. Human thought evolved. I have an idea, and then I have it. I have a lot of it. And then you had negative emotion, which was, oh no, I have too much of it. And so now you're trying to do other things. And that's the cycle of life. You have, and you have, and you have, and then you want something more. And you want something different. We want you to want something more and to have something different, but to limit negative emotion along the way, because then we can guide you into the next best thing for you and the planet. Where we live is where everybody lives after they die. It's a place. And there are soul communities and there are soul families. We describe that in other venues, but it's a place and everybody is learning and everybody is growing. Only here, you know what you want to do next. And then you embark upon learning. Carol asked us the other day, do you ever ask questions? And we say, we do ask questions, but we don't have consternation. If we were learning how to be a human physical being, and everybody technically goes to what you would call school to learn how to be a human physical person. You learn all about physical life. You learn about all the different layers of sub-realities that you can choose. And you learn about why you would do this one over that one or how you can do them simultaneously. You learn how to perceive yourself into the physical world. You learn how to create separation, because you create separation. Part of you is still where we are and part of you is flowing through the grid. You learn about it. And so when we learn, let's say there's 10 things that are set before us to learn. If we learn 4 of them perfectly, we simply say, these 4 feel wonderful. Let's begin again with number 5. What human beings do is, I don't understand. I only learned 4 things. Can you start again? I can't get this. This is too hard for me. We never say anything like that. We simply state where we are, and then let's begin again from that point. And so our learning is always deep. It's always rich, and it's always there. We also don't forget anything. Human beings forget because you have worry and you have doubt and you have guilt and you have disappointment. And when you have emotions of the lower register, they contaminate your thought. And forgetting things is contamination of thought. Your soul being doesn't forget anything. And neither do we on this side. So we say your soul being because part of your soul being is here in this energy field. Literally, it's in the grid. And it doesn't forget anything. But the emotional barrier over what it has learned can prevent that knowing from coming to you on the surface. Why do some people have a hard time learning? Emotional barriers. What are the emotional barriers? Habit of thought of I can't, or oh no, or why did I? Or that's hard, or simply, uh-oh, or starts with furrowing the brow. Negative emotion is the disruptor of human life experience. We don't have negative emotion. So we see everything clearly. We see it with ease, but we also don't forget anything. When we learn fully, and then we just keep growing and growing and growing, and then the young ones come up behind us, and then we teach the young ones until they're in a position to teach, and then they teach alongside us, or they teach the young ones. There's no superiority. It's just some of us have been around longer, although some of us have been around the same amount of time, but we've chosen to do different things first. You can have a non-physical guide that is older than you. You could have one that's technically younger than you, but they've been doing human physical life and guiding and being a teacher of it, and you have not yet embarked upon that. We don't view anything or anyone with envy. So we're okay learning from people who are younger than us. Your loved ones, after they make their way back over to the non-physical place that we're speaking from, they join with all of their lifetimes. They mind meld, but they also act independently. You do not lose your sense of identity. You gain a sense of identity. You are who you are, as well as the whole of all of your lifetimes. And then there's also the grander you, which is the one that came before you that had you. So, you know, you can set it side by side, children and parents and grandchildren, great grandparents and great grandparents after that. On this side, it's simply this. You have a soul entity being who was created, but someone created it, and someone created the one that created it, and so on and so forth. So there are no levels. That would be more like a caste system, and you don't like casteism where you are, and we don't have one, but we do have depth of learning, and we have been around for different lengths of time, but we all live in the same place. We cohabitate. Surely we do. We don't know everyone that exists in this non-physical place. We don't embark upon knowing everyone unless we want to. And then it becomes a quest. And we do it for as long as it feels good and as long as it feels fun. And then if we decide that we want to pause and go do something else, we do. And we do it with ease. We want people to learn the same technique. Keep going. With whatever you're doing. And as soon as you start to have some kind of negative emotion, back it up to a place that feels good and then begin again in the same direction. And if it still feels like negative emotion is staring you in the face, then back it up to a place of feeling good and go in a different direction, at least for a while, and let your emotions settle down. There's too much disruption in the mind of people, how to do things, comparing yourselves. Reality show television, they are fun to watch, but it's competition. Somebody will lose. As someone is participating as a contestant, they know leading up to it and during the whole season that they could be on the chopping block. That's worry and fear that can set in. Now you have worry and fear in your memory that you did not have to do. How do you participate in something like a reality cake building show, as one Carol's watching now, the Great British Cake Off? How do you watch that or participate in that and not get caught up in the contestants and who's leaving? And they do the close-ups of people crying and hugging and wishing that they weren't leaving, and then the sad, you know, last moment of statements before they head off the show. Yeah, turn it off before it gets to that point. She loves to bake. So we say, watch it for the love of baking and the techniques and the artistry. But before they get into all that emotional gunk, turn it off. Speed through that and go to the next episode. Avoid. It's the best thing that anybody can do. We don't avoid anything on this side. We engage in life and we engage fully. But when we are in, when we were in human physical form, when we engaged in human physical activity as a person, we were in the same position as you. If there's four teachers here now speaking, if one of us were to decide to become a person tomorrow, we would, no matter who we are on this side, we would face the same challenges that you have. You have blinders on. You don't remember who you are on this side. You don't remember what your intentions were. You don't remember who your non-physical teacher is. And you don't remember how to choose happy thought over negative thought. You don't remember. And the world is, in pockets of the world, they are teaching it. But mainstream life does not. We want more people to channel. We want more people to give highly qualified readings. We are creating more mediums, clairvoyant and channeled mediums. We want people to rely on their guide. We want people to know they have a guide. We want people to know the dynamics and the mechanics of how it works so that they trust it. And we want people to use psychic ability to manifest their future. And there are too many psychic readings happening. Psychic is tuning into the thoughts and emotions of people that are here or people that were here. It's not communicating through the dimensions. And so we are creating a new wave of advisement opportunities. We're creating a new generation of mediums, clairvoyant and channeled. And we're proud to do so. We like it. We think the world needs it. We do survey the world. And we say, these readings are causing people too much upset. There's too much disappointment in predictions not coming through. There's too much fear that the information is being voyeured. We don't do voyeurism. We simply talk to your guide, and your guide tells us what's going on with you, and then we mind meld, and then we have a conversation in the readings that we do through Carol. Now, she also does energy work, meaning that we do. And so, who are we? Who are you? What are the levels? There are no levels of soul beings, but there are ages. Some of us have been around longer. It's a little about what we do. We do a lot. We do a lot. And we have glorious time doing it. And we want to teach more people how to do physical life in a healthy way.
Why do we keep reincarnating over and over again, especially when there's so much suffering here?
Long topic. This is a long topic. This is one teacher from the many. You build in what you want to accomplish when you begin human physical life. So before you have your first life, you create some intentions. And then those intentions get more granular. And then you decide, I want to do these in the first half of my reincarnation cycle. You know that you're going to build in several lives. The goal is, how many lives do I need to get them all done? And it's not a race to the finish, but you do project, how many lives will I need given the temperament and environment of the human platform that I am going to engage in. And so you set up a series of lives. That's the reincarnation. Now, it can be a cycle, but it is cyclical in the world today because people aren't getting their life intentions done. It's too fast-paced, it's too busy, and people don't meditate. You've forgotten the art of self-healing. You've forgotten the art of healing meditation. You've forgotten the art. Now, there's pockets of people and pockets of communities that are talking about metaphysical things, and some of it is highly wrong. But there's some ancient things. We talk about the mudras and hand positions, but we dive into it deeper. One of the reasons that channelers have been coming forward more and more, we are asking more soul beings to build into their life intentions to channel, not just clairvoyant, but to channel so that we can bring forward more information that's clear and unfettered. But when you have an intention set, and let's say, Jeff, you've got six things that you are really wanting to accomplish this lifetime. If you accomplish none of them, then you come back over here and you just say, wow, oh, I didn't get any of them done. Okay, well, I'm gonna try again. And then you come and do it again. But you stick with those same life intentions. So if you've got that set and you don't get any done, then you come back and you are still on that set. And the way the world is today, soul beings are on the same set of intentions for many more lives than they need to. We do life path readings, and we tell you what your intentions are and what you're doing and what you're doing well and what you're not doing and what you should be doing and how to get there. And we give you some structured guidance on what to do and how long to do it, how to change your thought pattern, but also how to change your lives. There's a lot of people that are just hoping and wishing and praying that psychic readings are accurate. And people are uprooting themselves and moving or changing jobs or changing relationships based on guidance in a reading. And that's not healthy for anyone. We do want everyone to know the art of the pendulum. Use it and use it consistently. Is this reader highly qualified on the topic that I want to speak about today? If you get a no, pass. If you get a yes, write their name down, but also write the topic. Because you might come back to that person and ask your pendulum. You're asking your guide, and they're using the object of the pendulum to communicate with you. It's a nonverbal artifact that we can manipulate and give you an answer. But the next time you want to have a reading, use your pendulum again, because if the topic is different, you might get a no for that particular reader. Psychic readers, you'll get a no every time if you're using a pendulum. Now, we want psychic ability to be used for manifesting your life on purpose. We want highly clairvoyant channeled people to give readings. And then we get to tell you truly what's going on, how to help you, what your loved ones are doing on this side. And they are active. This is active life. We're not just a hint of memory of bygone lives. We are active, powerful beings doing, making, creating, thinking, having, and moving about. Life intentions are not ever at stake, but people could get them done faster if they understood that they had them, and if they understood that they could have a reading to get them, and if they understood whether or not the person they're getting a reading from is highly qualified on that topic. We want more people to do that. We want to create more highly qualified people who are interested in mediumship. It's a career field of flowing conversation from beyond. And it is learning how to translate. So anyone that just says, I think I just want to pick up a new job, and I think I'm really good at giving people advice, and I'm pretty sure that that advice isn't coming from me, I think I'm going to be a reader. And then they join a psychic hotline, or they open up a little business, or they go to their metaphysical shop and say, I'm a good reader. And then they might acquire people, and they might acquire validation. But if they're using psychic ability, then validation means they're hand selecting a memory from you, and then it's produced in the mind. And then you can train yourself to get good validation, but that's psychic nature. That's not the right thing to do for a reading. Clairvoyant and channel, they reach to the other side. Now, this psychic ability, let's say that you want to have a new job. You can forecast using psychic ability where to apply. And you can use consistent positive thoughts that you will get the job and that everything about it will be pleasing. That's what psychic is. That's sending thoughts out, but it's also pulling thoughts back. And that's what that ability is used for. We think the world needs more readings that are qualified. Soul beings are not earthbound spirits. We are not. But we are bound to participating in human physical life until our intentions are done. It is a learning environment. It's not a game. We have embarked upon a learning, only you set the curriculum, soul person by soul person. You set your curriculum of what you want to learn in the human physical world by way of this separation. It is the separation. Part of your awareness is here in the physical world, and everything else is where we are. And so when you encapsulate part of your soul being and you have it here in the physical form, you have limitation, and you're trying to perfect part of what you do over here, and you're using the human environment to do it. And so you're here on purpose. You want to be here, and you are here with a purpose. And that's what soul intentions are all about. So reincarnation is good. The cycle is good. We love human life. We know people don't always love their lives, though. So we like to talk to people about that, too.
You're saying that we need more channelers. Why is that? I mean, is it because the Earth is in such bad shape now that we need help?
Well, human beings have help. You build in help. Because of this separation, and there is limitation, you don't have pure awareness of your ability to create in the way that you do when you're in the non-physical dimension. You have creating abilities, but you don't remember how to use them. So you have a guide. That guide communicates with you in vibrational tones, not through human language, not until whether and if the awakening occurs for you, but they are always tending to the grid and healing emotions, tending to the chakra system and helping it to be what it should be. And they're always guiding you using intuition, but intuition in people in the world today is at an all-time low. Intuition is necessary to live life happily on purpose and also get your intentions done. But also to get your own vision board done, because vision boarding is important to people. It's why you're here, to have a good time, explore the world, to learn everything that you can, and along the way, get your soul intentions done. So you have a lifeline, and that lifeline is with you from just before you're born until just after the moment of death. They are with you your entire lifespan. They never, ever, ever leave your side. And there's one powerful being. It is a non-physical teacher level person. And they're with you your entire lifespan. They never, for even a microsecond, leave your side. But people don't acknowledge them. They can't hear them. The subconscious mind doesn't acknowledge them, can't hear them for the most part. There's not zero communication, but it's low. We would say 10 to 20% of people have high intuition and everybody else is low. Meditation, silent rhythm of the body meditation, opens you up to better intuition. So you feel better, you think better, you've got more clarity. Anyone that's wanting to awaken, capital A, they need silent meditation, pure silent meditation. But it has to be in these micro amounts, 3 to 12 minutes. And then your non-physical team will cause the awakening to occur. Or build in any amount of meditation as a lifestyle, and then it will occur in a more natural fashion, but you can get there. You are being guided and you are being helped, but you don't know what questions to ask and you forget to ask. You wake up and you're running late, ask your guide team to clear the path in front of you, help keep your emotions under control, help distract the person on the other end so that they don't notice how late you are. We can do all kinds of things. And we're successful when intuition is strong. Intuition gets stronger just by believing in intuition. So anyone listening to this interview, if they really absorb themselves in this material, then they will have a deeper understanding of intuition. And when you ask, it is given, and then the mind complies. Intuition is only as strong as you allow yourself to believe in it.
You are called the teachers of Jeshua. So is Jesus of Nazareth one of the guides that are here? And if not, how are you related to Jesus?
We are not. This is about four teachers now. We are not the one known as Jesus. We are not the grander being that human being is a part of. We are the teachers of Yeshua. Yeshua with a J is a body of teachers. Yeshua with a J, it's a body of teachers that guide people that are in the world. Everybody that is a guide is part of the Yeshua community, the Yeshua community. Jesus was powerfully connected to his non-physical team. And so people attribute powerful healing, powerful knowing, powerful joy, powerful mindset. We like that people still remember that lifetime. we are not that being. It's not that we're not associated with that being, because that, not that person individually, but the lifetime is part of a powerful mega house of beings that have had lifetimes, and they do healing things. And so that being is still involved in the world. The grander part of that being is still involved in the world. The community that that being is a part of is involved with the world. They don't do what we do. The teachers of Yeshua are the non-physical vibrational beings that teach how to participate in the world. That's what we do. That's our current forte, if you will. And we are a rather small group from our perspective, because there's many, many of us. At any one time, there could be upwards of 40 or 50 non-physical teachers that are a part of a group of Q&A sessions. Non-physical guides are a teacher of Yeshua, but they're doing the guide role. The rest of us are doing a different role. It's like a university and taking all of the professors and calling them Yeshua. All of the professors that teach soul beings about how to participate in the world and then help you participate in the world. Well, that university would be called the University of Yeshua. It's University of Physical Life Participation. That's who we are. And we're of a group of about 50 that have formed together because of the content that we teach through this woman, Carol. We teach four different subjects, the essential material. And if we were only teaching one of these subjects, it would be a smaller group. But with all of this material that we teach through her, we combine our energies and combine our thoughts with a larger collective of beings. We hope that satisfies the answer. Jesus is known in the world as Yeshua. We understand that. There is a long ago reason for that. We are not that being. Carol certainly is not implying that she is associated directly or the new embodiment of. It's not that at all. But on this side, we know of when we embark upon participating in teaching how to be a human physical person, and when we become master of it, we have mastered all of the teaching, mastered it, then we are among Yeshua. It's a community, it's a title, not a lifetime. We use that name specifically because that is the name of the community that all guides belong to, and all guides are teachers. Every human being has five teachers on this side. Every soul being, let's say, every soul being has five teachers. You select your five teachers. When you step into your reincarnation cycle, you choose one of those five teachers to be your guide. And so that one steps in and is with you your entire lifespan. Now, the other four teachers are on standby to step in during certain phases or certain portions of your life where their specialty is necessary. But everybody chooses who their guide is, but they all come from the community of Yeshua. We respond to Yeshua. Carol doesn't favor that because it makes her feel like she's too religious or that she is putting an identity out there that she doesn't want. So we respect that. We identify as the teachers in general. That feels good to her. She likes that best. In private, she calls us both because she understands it. We get the question on occasion. It's all right. We're not that being, but that being is always available to anybody in the world.
For my final question, is there a message that humanity needs right now?
Everything we've said. You need to be gentler with yourselves. You need to find silent meditation. People are so active. Their minds are so active that you have found meditation interesting, but then you mess it all up with talking. And there's all kinds of meditation theories and meditation modalities. And they're all different things that you can think or do. There's a standing on your head meditation. There's gong meditation. There's candlelight meditation. They're all beautiful ways of trying to understand that meditation is good. But it's an example of law of attraction. Your minds are too active. And so even when you embark upon wanting a quieter mind, you infuse mind activity to the activity and thereby negating it almost completely. Silent meditation is our message to the world. Psychic ability is in the world. It is a good ability. It's something that you should use to manifest your life on purpose. That's a message to the world. Psychic readers, we love you so much, but your ability is getting more and more and more concrete in the grid, and your clairvoyant, your true ability to converse with your guide is becoming smaller and smaller. We know that there are some people whose livelihoods are now on psychic readings. And so we don't dissuade you from earning the income that you are and taking care of your families, but we do still want you to meditate. We want highly qualified clairvoyant and channeled mediums so that we can speak to them, so that we can speak to people, so that we can give you verbal guidance in addition to the nonverbal guidance that we're always intuiting to you. The world is starting to prepare itself for what the world is causing. The world is calling a shift, but the world is causing the shift because your mindset is starting to shift. We want more peace. We want more peace. And so channeled readings, we get to say what you need to hear at the pace and the temperament and the analogies and the specificness that each person needs. So that's good. But in a general message, we would say, think with love, act with love, listen with love, look with love, talk with love, be love, walking all day, every day. Your life will be healthier and so will everyone else's around you.
Thank you so much for channeling for us today.
You're welcome.
So Carol, how much of that did you hear?
I heard all of it. I was not prepped for any of it. I will probably not remember most of it by later today. And so I'll go back and listen to the interview and say, oh, that was great. That was great. That was great. I'm always in awe of what they say. Time is always, you know, a factor, but you know, when I'm here by myself and they just teach me out loud, or when I'm in a class session or a workshop, you know, it's just this beautiful conveyance of what that group of people need. You know, classes are, I record them and I have an archive. So I have a membership thing. And so my membership is, you know, there's a gold membership. And with that, people get live virtual access every single month to a 2-hour group reading and then some other things. And then platinum, it's unlimited classes plus that monthly group reading. And then you get to all the archives for it. And I get emails every single day from people that say, oh, I just listened to this one and this is my favorite quote from it. And so, you know, it just gets better and better. I had an email from someone just yesterday that sent me a screenshot. And I said, tell me what episode that was, because I remember that now that you show me the picture, but it had already left my memory. So I'm going to go back and listen to that one this week. And yeah, it's fun.
Mm. So what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
My website, so americas-medium.com. And then just let your eyes land on if you're on the computer and you can see the full menu, let your eyes land on the menu and then just go through each item. If you're on a mobile device, then, you know, open the drop down and let your eyes just land on each item. Some people will be drawn to looking at the learning center. Some people will be drawn to memberships. Some people will be drawn to the readings. Some people will be drawn to just the about me. And then it's just where are you in that moment in time? I would say, you know, look at classes and what they're all about, and then look at membership. Membership is 50 to 60% off individual prices, and you get a private Facebook group, and I'm on there every week. The teachers come through. I do a video or a freebie. This past summer, they wrote an entire full-size book in front of a live audience in 8 different sessions. And so that's only to people that are in membership. So there's a lot of fun things. It's more cost-effective, but it's consistent learning. You can check me out on YouTube. So same thing, America's Medium, Facebook, and all those things. But you can get in touch with me straight direct from my website.
Great. Well, before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
Oh, from me or the teachers?
From you.
Oh, from me? Be love. Just be love. When you be love, then you can't be mad. When you be love, you can't be hungry. You know, let's say you're hungry. Don't fall into I don't know. Just say, you know, I really would like something to eat. And I think it would be really nice if I ate at home, or it would be really nice if I ate out. And then just close your eyes for about a minute and watch how a good idea comes to you. When you are loving to yourself by giving yourself just a 1 minute breathing moment, emotions settle down, great ideas come to you, or they're received by you. And it's just a way to step into the next segment of your life with a happy feeling instead of a vibration of I don't know. So my message is be love.
Carol, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, cool. Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.